I had this is a little mini thing before we pray. We are doing Easter musical practice at the school, and the kids all have to sing. You might be able to imagine the looks on middle schoolers' faces as they are asked to practice singing. It's not great. They are less than enthused, Daniel. They're not super excited to be there. And it's my job to shush them when they talk. And it's a job I don't like. My least favorite part of being a teacher is shushing. I love shushing my children. Shush them in the morning, shush them in the evening. But I don't like shushing them. And I also feel conflicted about, you know, what, are we just not going to have an Easter musical? We got to have an Easter musical. But sometimes I wonder if we're leaving a bad taste in their mouths. Like, you know, it's how often when we're doing the Christmas musical and the teachers are saying, you know, Christmas is all about Jesus, which it is. But the kids may be thinking something different. They're thinking it's about presents. And this disconnect leads them often, in my experience, and certainly led me to kind of outgrow my love of the Lord when I was young. And so I think to myself often, what could I do? What could I say? How could I behave that would show these young people that loving the Lord is not for him, it's for you? Robert Downey Jr. gave this wonderful interview, and he was speaking about, you know, he had drug problems and all kinds of things. And they say, well, how do you manage now? And he said, I feel this presence inside of me. It's like an invisible thin line leading me where to go. And the interviewer said, well, what would you call it? And I said, the Holy Spirit, Jesus, I'm saying to my phone. And he said, synchronicity. Because there's a disconnect for Robert Downey Jr. Somehow, the representatives of the Lord Jesus Christ have gotten things so sideways that we're calling it everything but what it is. I love the Lord not because he wants me to. I love him because he saves me. He calls us to love our neighbors. I was in the box last night and I saw people coming and I would stock the yogurts perfectly and then they would take them and mess them up. And I felt the Lord saying, you know, love them. And so I just would look at this lady who's taking the yogurts down so that she can get the yogurts in the back because that's where we keep the good ones. Don't take the ones in the front. Those are poison. The ones in the back, those are the ones you want to get. And I just tried to call up the Spirit of the Lord and love her. And I was the one who was redeemed. Did that make sense? The instructions aren't guidelines. Shush! Praise the Lord! Or you're benched for recess. Praise the Lord because he's going to save you. Love your neighbors, not so that you're a good person. Love them so that you live in the land of love. He calls me forward only because I take the time to recognize his voice. He's calling every single person there to love the people messing up the yogurts. And for years and years, I could not and would not hear him. But now, what's that? Love the lady messing up the yogurts? I will. It starts right here, right now, with Emilio on acoustic guitar. If you'll bow your heads and pray. Thanks, Emilio.
It's not worked out yet.
Make sure that the camera comes from below.
Yes.
I want to look as fat and red-faced as I possibly can. That comment that I made earlier, I don't want to disparage our brothers and sisters in Christ. We're all doing the best we can. But I wrestle often with what is my role as a pastor, what is my role as a Christian, what is my role as a man in society. And I think, I could be wrong, it happened once before. I think it's to be as true a representative of my master as I can be, and in so doing, spread his gospel. That makes sense? Talk is cheap. As somebody who talks all day, every day, I can tell you. The scripture says, be perfect, just as your heavenly Father is perfect. That's tough. I'm close, Aiden. JK. Very far away. But I would argue is, don't worry about what you're saying. Don't worry about the future. Don't regret the past. Do your best to be with the Lord. He is perfect, and to the degree that you can follow him, so shall you be. Did that make sense? The worries about sin and all of that stuff, that's a discussion for another day. But if I can love the person with the yogurts, if I can love the people that come to me day in day, I will be the prime beneficiary. But also the people around me who are miserable, the people around me who are sad and downtrodden, may look to me and say, how can you be so happy, Gabe? It's funny you should ask. So, speaking of being today, we're going to talk about the present moment. Be perfect. The title of this sermon is Wake Up and Be Present. Most of us miss out on much of what life has to offer because we are fearing the future, regretting the past, or in a different way, looking forward to the future, or getting lost in nostalgia. The kingdom of heaven is right now, here in hand. I'll give you a funny example to kind of illuminate my point. Last night, as I was working in the box, as you know, Aiden's best friend and a former student of mine, who's now my colleague, was like on the front. I don't know if you guys have been to a Trader Joe's, and there's the back in the refrigerator where people are stocking, and there's the front where the customers are. And so he was up, and I was stocking the thing so you could kind of see through. And I was like, hey, Nick, how's it going? And he's like, oh, hey, blah, blah, blah. So we're kind of talking for a second. And he said, hey, man, did anybody tell you that you got a bat in your cave? And I was like, what? And he's like, you got a little boogie right there. And I was like, no, nobody told me that. And then I proceeded to create a movie in my mind. I started to think to myself, how long has this been the case? Was I working my register hour the whole time, making pleasantries about the weather and everything else, and people were thinking, this dude needs to blow his nose? I conjured up this image, horrifying, nightmarish images of people looking at my nose and laughing and mocking me. And then I thought, is Nick now going to go laugh? He's probably going to go tell Aiden. Oh, I bet he's going to tell Aiden. I would probably tell Aiden. And the peaceful love and harmony that I had felt previously in the box vanished, gone. I was away. My body was still stocking the yogurts, but my mind was in this made-up land of mockery and gnashing of teeth. An imagined past where people laughed behind my back. A feared future of this getting out to my coworkers. That is a small, silly example of things that we tend to do every day. Most of us are walking around like zombies. Jesus says, "Let the dead bury their dead. You come and follow me, Gabe." How many of us are just going through the motions? Either thinking of the past and the future in a negative way or a positive way. I'm taking the seventh graders to Sacramento next week, and it's going to be awesome. And the seventh graders are psyched. I mean, they can barely even like stand still. They're just so psyched for it. They can't wait. And one of my students, her name is Kasha, says, "Oh, I wish it wasn't even the weekend. I wish we were going right now." But the wise sage that I am, "Kasha, don't look forward to Sacramento, because then you are not making yourself happy right now. Be happy right now. You get to look forward. You have this big, cool thing coming up. You're with your favorite teacher who makes history come alive." How many of us work a job and we're just waiting till we clock off? "I'm looking forward to the weekend." "Ugh, Mondays, am I right?" No, you're not. As a man who lived giving 80% of my life up and taking the 20% that I thought was good, I've never been good at math, but that's really foolish. You think you can only be happy on the weekends. You're wrong. Just because you haven't been happy at work doesn't mean that you cannot be. I could be happy right at Trader Joe's, in the midst of it, because he who created me is with me at all times. And to the degree that I follow him, my exterior circumstances don't matter. Did that make sense? If the gospel only applies when I'm at home doing what I want, then you are shortchanging the Lord of glory. If the Lord can only help you when things are good, then that's not a very good deal. Because beer and chocolate could do that. The Lord finds us where we're at, and there he resides in our hearts, at work, at home, in the traffic, here, right now. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. When we allow ourselves to be distracted by thoughts of a non-existent future or past, we lose our connection with the Holy Spirit. I'm going to call up my son, not right now, in a moment. He hates this, but he doesn't have a choice. The book of Leviticus says that if he doesn't do it, then we all get to take him outside and throw rocks at him. Hope you're listening, Aiden. Our fear of the future or our hope. There's nothing wrong with hope. Hope is a wonderful thing. But working in school all the time, I hear teachers waiting for the weekend, waiting for spring break, waiting for the... That makes sense? The weekend will be awesome. Sacramento will be awesome. I'm not trying to trick myself. I'm seeing it for as what it really is. It's wonderful. I get an opportunity to impact children's lives. And they love me for it. And I love them for it. Would I give that up for another day of playing Helldivers 2 with Dogen? Maybe. But that's not in the cards, so I enjoy it as it is. Did that make sense? All right. Luke chapter 12, verses 16 through 26. I'm going to pick it up, Judd. Don't worry about it. "And he told a parable saying, the land of a rich man was very productive, And he began reasoning to himself, saying, "What shall I do, since I have no place to store my crops?" Then he said, "This is what I will do. I will tear down my barns and build larger ones, and there I will store all my grain and all my goods. And I will say to my soul, 'Soul, you have many goods laid up for many years to come. Take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry.' But God said to him, 'You fool! This very night your soul is required of you, and now who will own what you have prepared?' So the man who stores up treasure for himself is not rich toward God." And he said to his disciples, "For this reason I say to you, do not worry about your life as to what you will eat, nor for your body as to what you will put on. For life is more than food, and the body more than clothing. Consider the ravens, for they neither sow nor reap. They have no storeroom, nor barn, and yet God feeds them. How much more valuable you are than the birds! And which of you, will, by worrying, can add a single hour to his lifespan? If then you cannot even do a very little thing, why do you worry about other matters? Consider the lilies, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. But I tell you, not even Solomon in all his glory clothed himself like one of these." It feels almost insulting to tell people not to worry about their future. I often speak with people from the congregation in my work, and they tell me about the things that they are going to, and sometimes they seem very bleak indeed. And I don't want to just glibly say, "Don't worry about it, it'll work itself out." But it's either true or it's not. Did that make sense? And if it's not, then what are we doing? But it is true. It is true. It's just scary. The first time you parachute out of a plane, I'm told, is scary. But a parachute being stopped by wind will occur. Just because you've never done it before doesn't mean it won't happen. You may find yourself in a deep, dark place and you cannot see your way out. But you can. You can get out. You have to believe me. I was someone that did the deepest, darkest pit. Doesn't get much darker than where I was at. And for years and years and years, I assumed, I'm stuck. I'm done. Jesus says to them, "Which one of you, if you had 100 sheep, wouldn't go and find that one lost one? He will find you. He will." Tomorrow's coming, no matter what. All we have a choice is to how to face it. And the Lord will find us and deliver us through. And when the good times are good, enjoy them. And when the bad times are there, endure them with peace, because the Lord will not leave you as orphans. Do not worry about the future. It's got enough worries itself. Enjoy here and now. I'm not concerned with all of the grades that I have to do tomorrow. I'm here, right now. Do not fear the future. Do not look forward to the future. Enjoy the present. Take care of the present, and the present will take care of itself. That does not mean you don't have to, like, make plans. I got to make a parent letter. Tend to what you can do. And then follow the guidance of the Lord, and it will sort itself out. It may not be how you thought it was going to be, but it will sort itself out. If you traveled back even 5 years ago and said, "Gabe, you will be a pastor preaching to people about life," I would be like, "You fool! You foolish fool!" I spent years running from it. It will take care of itself. Even Iron Man knows this. He calls you forward. Follow him. All right. We've talked about the future. I feel like I really nailed that, right, Aiden? Now we refer to the past. I was getting my hair cut yesterday. Mistakes were made. But that's okay. I'm going to let him go. Angels knew he's just getting started. He's a great guy. But as I was getting my hair cut, they like were playing music like on a TV or whatever, and this song came on that I don't know about how songs hit you, but it was a song that was important to someone who I cared about deeply in the past. It was like our song. When it came on, even though I was getting a bad haircut, my mind traveled back to a time. Did that make sense? And it wasn't a bad time. I remembered this person, but that nostalgia can be dangerous. You understand? It is so hard to find good help these days, Joanne. If anybody knows a pianist, just joking, Mom. That better be Jesus. Not tease. Nostalgia can keep you from doing what the Lord would have you do. Or it would have you look at your current circumstances as less than. Did that track? So, when I go into Trader Joe's, sometimes I see all of the people going around and there's young couples doing fun stuff. And then I think to myself, like, oh, I remember when I was young and did cool stuff. That robs me of my happiness. Did that make sense? That doesn't mean that I can't think about, oh, I remember this funny story of when my son was young. Or, oh, I remember doing this with my brother. But it's a very thin line between, oh, I remember that when my son did this, that, or the other, and, oh my gosh, I miss when he was just young. Did that make sense? Here and now is the kingdom of heaven. Here and now is the kingdom of heaven. It's at hand. Luke chapter 9, verse 57. As they were going along the road, someone said to him, I will follow you wherever you go. And Jesus said to him, the foxes have holes and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. And he said to another, follow me. But he said, Lord, permit me first to go and bury my father. But he said to him, allow the dead to bury their own dead. But as for you, go and proclaim everywhere the kingdom of God. Another said to him, I will follow you, Lord, but first permit me to say goodbye to those at home. But Jesus said to him, no one, after putting his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God. We got to be careful with our tone, because not fit for the kingdom of God can mean like you're not good enough, or it could mean that you don't fit the prerequisites. I was in the kingdom of God, full of peace and life and love. And then I started to think about the past, and I started to feel heartache and longing. Did that make sense? So I wasn't worthy. And I, right out. No more peace, no more happiness. That makes sense? I hear a song that reminds me of my sister. And I go back to this place. I will never forget her, but I cannot allow the enemy to sever my connection with the Lord. So if I'm allowing myself to feel the pain of her loss and thinking, I miss her and I wish she were here, then I'm not fit for the kingdom of God. I do miss her. But I'm doing great and one day I'll see her. Did that make sense? It's a small but drastic difference. I'm not missing the past. I'm grateful for her memory here, right now. All right, Aiden, you have to come up here. This is my son. His name is Aiden. Now, speaking of the past, when Aiden was a younger man, look at this. Let's go. Hey, everybody. This is my son. Now, here we are in the present. But sometimes I think of when he was a younger man and I had not been following the Lord closely. And I start to regret and feel feel doubt and feel pain and feel guilt. Or I think of all of the wonderful things that he'll be in the future. Or I fear for the things that will be in the future. So here he is now, in the present. Kingdom of God. Yes! But then the enemy starts to lie to me, and I start thinking about the past. You can stay there. Oh my God, why didn't I do better to Father? How could I have done that? Oh my goodness, I miss when he was just my little child. Oh, I come back to the kingdom of heaven. Oh, but what about the future? What terrible things could happen to my children in the future? And I'm missing him. He's right here. This is my life. This is my life. Here and now. This guy. We work at Trader Joe's together. Awesome. Sometimes I look at pictures of when he was little and he had a Cookie Monster sweater. But if he stayed that kid, he wouldn't be this dude. And I'm so grateful for this man. Here and now, the kingdom of heaven. When I leave, I'm not worthy for it. I'm not fit. He's all alone. I've cast my mind into the future. I'm a zombie wandering around. Forgive them, Father. They don't know what they're doing. They're just wandering around. Where on earth? Thanks, brother. Yeah, you're the best. You. Love this guy. You're not fit for the kingdom of heaven, Gabe, when your hand is to the plow and you're there with your son. You're being the man that you should be, connected with the Holy Spirit. And what was that? Wander off. Yeah, I want to follow you, Lord, but first nothing. That's why it's hard for the rich man to get in there. He's got bills and meetings and investments and statements, I assume. So it's hard for him to get into the heaven because he's got so many things. He's got people coming up, hat in hand. I don't have to worry about that. Kingdom of heaven. Nobody's coming to ask me for nothing. It's just in the kingdom of heaven all the time. The last verse, and I'll close with this. Matthew 12, verses 29. Jesus is casting out demons. The Pharisees accuse him of using the power of the devil to cast out the devil. But I cast out demons by the Spirit of God. Then the kingdom of God has come upon you. Or how can anyone enter the strong man's house and carry off his property unless he first binds the strong man? And then he will plunder his house. For years and years, the enemy bound me up. He stole my memories. He plagued me with guilt. And he kept them because I allowed him to get stronger and stronger in my mind. But greater is he who is in me than who is against me. And when the Holy Spirit is flowing through me, I go into the strong man's house, I peel away his armor, and I take back what is mine. Do not let him rob from you. Do not let him steal from you. Your regrets of the past, your fears of the future, we take them back. By connecting with the Holy Spirit. How can I be the father I need to be if I'm kicking myself for the father I wasn't? How can I love my daughter as she goes into high school when I'm absent-mindedly worried about all the million things that could happen to her? The kingdom of heaven is at hand, here and now. Lot's wife turns around. Follow the Lord. Keep your hand to the plow. Follow him, follow him, follow him. And he will lead you through. He will lead you through. The God of the universe doesn't come up short. We just got to follow him. Be mindful. Be ever vigilant. When somebody says you got something in your nose, say, oh, thanks, man, appreciate that. And follow him. When you start worrying about the future, your job, your house, your children, follow him, and he will teach you how to reach them. Follow him, and he will make you the employee that you need to be. Be perfect, just as your heavenly Father is perfect. And don't sell yourself short. Don't tell yourself, I can't do that. That's too hard. It's not. Be here, and he who is perfect will lead you. That's why all the angels say, don't be afraid. That's the first thing they say. Say it to Mary, say it to the shepherds. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Here and now. It's good. It's good. I'm at Trader Joe's. Filling up. Boom! Beaming it out. I love it. And I think to myself, all of the people walking their dogs, watching, I don't know, sports, even playing Helldivers 2 is second to the calling of the Lord. I follow him, I follow him, I follow him, and he leads me through. And one day, when I see those I've missed, and the Lord will say, well done, my good and faithful servant. In the meantime, I get to go to Sacramento and be a man to these young children that maybe they won't look at Jesus as a chore they have to do, but as a Savior who will lead them into everything. Don't let him rob you. I'll close in prayer. Lord, thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Help us. Help us. Give us ears to hear. Give us eyes to see. Give us a heart that understands. Bring us back. When fear carries us away, bring us back. When regret carries us away, bring us back. Guide us, Lord. Protect us. Help us to see the pitfalls of the enemy. Heal us in our bodies. Heal us in our minds. Bring us back next week filled with the good news of your gospel. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.